We'll get our sound booth guy going. And let's stand for our final hymn prior to the message. 171. Turn to 171. And we're going to sing all three. 171, all three. And I'm so glad that our Lord is the lily of the valley. He is the bright morning star. And He is the reason for everything we do in this church. Amen? Praise the Lord for Him. Let's sing it. All three. Yes.
Jesus, He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, and Him alone I see. All I need to cleanse and make me fully whole.
Amen!
In sorrow He's my comfort, in trouble He's my stay. He tells me every care on Him to roll.
Hallelujah!
He's the lily, the bright and the morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He all my griefs has taken and all my sorrows borne. In temptation He's my strong and mighty tower. I have all for Him forsaken and all my idols torn from my heart, and now He keeps me by His power. No sorrow He's my comfort, He's my stay. He tells me every care on Him to roll.
Hallelujah!
He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. On the third, He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here. While I live by faith and do His blessed will. A wall of fire about me, I've nothing now to fear. With His manna, He my hungry soul supplies. In sorrow He's my comfort, in trouble He's my stay. He tells me every care on Him to roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and the morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
Glory to God. Please be seated, church. What a blessing to have Him. Amen. I love that second stanza. It says, though all the world forsake me and Satan tempt me sore, through Jesus I shall safely reach the goal. Through Jesus we shall safely reach the goal. I'm glad it doesn't depend on Bob Oliver. It depends on my Savior. And the work is already done. I love it. All right, folks, we will sing again afterwards, but at this time, let's grab our Bibles this morning and open up to the book of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 23 this morning for our message. And don't forget tonight, the Lord's table. Oh, it's going to be good. Can't wait. Just love how we draw nigh to the Lord, and He draws nigh unto us. 2 Samuel, chapter number 23. And I had a lot of fun preparing this message this week, because it's good. Amen? The Word of God is so good. Look with me in verse 1. 2 Samuel 23, verse 1, we read, now these be the last words of David. Did you hear that? The last words of David. You think it's important what he's going to say? Oh yeah. David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel, said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and His word was in my tongue. Now here we find the doctrine of inspiration. Amen? It's the word of the Lord in His tongue. Glory. Drop down with me to verse number 8. In verse 8 we read David's last words. These be the names of the what?
Mighty men
whom David had. I want to preach you a message this morning I've entitled David's Mighty Men. David's Mighty Men. Look with me in verse 8. These be the names of the mighty men whom David had. The Cachmonite that sat in the seat, chief amongst the captains. The same was Adino, the Esnite. He lift up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David, when they defied the Philistines that were gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop, where was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it, and slew the Philistines. And the Lord wrought a great victory. Beloved, using verse 12 as my text this morning, I want to preach a message I've entitled, David's Mighty Men. Father in heaven, how we thank you for the passage before us this morning. How we thank you, Lord, that the king was not alone. Lord, we thank you that you gave him servants. You gave him men of war. You gave him those who would serve and fight in the battle with the king. Lord, we thank you for the spiritual picture that you painted, Holy Spirit, this morning. That we can be mighty men and mighty women of God, like these were for the King David. And Lord, we thank you that we serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he's never lost a battle and never will. Lord, we ask for your blessings upon your preached word this morning, that you'd give us spiritual insight and understanding into these things, that we may take and apply something today to our Christian lives, that we might become the mighty soldiers of Jesus Christ that you've called us to be. Well, thank you ahead of time for all that you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Beloved, I want you to look again at verse number 11. And notice, in verse 11, after him was Shammah, the son of Agi the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop, where was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines, but he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it, and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. I want you to notice here in this passage, beloved, it wasn't very much, just a piece of ground. It had some lentils on it. There's no telling how many times the Philistines had pillaged it before. Nobody else would have defended it but Shammah. So what would cause Shammah to fight for this piece of land? Why did he do it? Why did he not turn tail and run like all the others? No, he said, I'm going to fight for this piece of ground in the name of the Lord God of Israel. See, there was something different about Shammah, beloved, that I want to call your attention to this morning. He was different than anyone else. When the people all fled, something in him said, stand. When they all ran away, something in him said, fight. When they all gave up, something in him said, press on. Don't quit. Keep on going for God. Amen? Listen carefully. He was different in a way that Peter was different. He was different in a way that Paul was different. He was different in a way that John the Baptist was different. Listen, he stood alone on that plot of ground and said, you're not taking it, in Jesus' name. It didn't matter what you thought about Shammah. He didn't really care about popular opinion, amen? It didn't matter what the majority thought or what the majority did. It didn't matter what the peer pressure said about him. He stood alone in the name of God. Listen, he knew what his responsibilities were. He knew what his calling was. He knew who he was. And he knew who his God was. He had no fear. Are you listening? Shema stood when no one else would stand. Folks, I'm here to tell you this morning that God's people are quitting by the droves. They're falling out of church. They're falling out of fellowship. They're falling out of Bible study and prayer. And they're forsaking the battle that we need to fight. Shema said, I'm going to stand. If the whole world forsakes him, I'm going to fight in his name. Oh, listen carefully now, church. God is looking for a few good Shemas in these last days that will stand up and say, I'm not throwing in the towel. I don't care who quits the battle. I'm going on for Jesus Christ. He's looking for an Esther who will speak up for Israel. He's looking for a Saul of Tarsus who he can anoint with the power of the Holy Ghost to become a Paul in ministry. He's looking for a Simon the fisherman who will become Peter the evangelist to the world. He's looking for a few good men and women who will say, I'll stand like Shema against the enemies of God.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, how we need to take a stand today. Ezekiel 22, verse 30, the Bible says, And I sought for, God speaking, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. God said, I found none. No one would stand up for the children of Israel. And the heart of the Lord is breaking this morning, church, as he sees more and more casualties in the Church of Jesus Christ. Listen to me, the devil's having a field day. And we need to stand up and take a stand like Shema. Why?
Amen.
Because Jesus is coming soon, and very soon. He's coming with rapture for the church, but he's coming with vengeance for the lost. And we need to tell them before it's too late. They need the Savior. Listen to me. If you don't reach out to that family member, who's going to? If you don't reach out to that neighbor, who's going to? If you don't talk to the co-worker, who's going to? Well, who's going to pray for them? Who's going to invite them to church? Who's going to teach them a Bible study? Who's going to win them to God? I'll tell you who. Nobody. Nobody. If you don't do it. Beloved, you have a calling. You have a sphere of influence that I don't have. And if you don't get busy and roll up your sleeves for Jesus Christ, they'll die and split hell like a bullet. Oh, that's horrifying thinking, but it's true. You are it. You're the one. You are Shema. Are you listening? Oh, how we need more and more of these warriors who will get in the battle and not quit fighting the enemy. You have a calling on your life. And it's not to warm a pew. It's not to take up space. It's not to occupy till I come. Listen, it's to reach out to a lost and dying world. It's to reach into a life that's without Jesus Christ and lead them to Calvary. That's what this Christian life is all about. It's not, oh, I love coming here. I love y'all. I come here, I tell you this all the time, I come every day and preach if anybody would come and listen. Why? Because I love being in the house of God with God's people. But we've got a job to do out there. Oh, beloved, listen carefully. You are Shema to your family. You are Esther to your neighborhood. You are Eliezer that says, I'm not letting go of this sword until I win somebody to God. You are the Peter who used to be an old foul-mouthed fisherman who became a mighty man of God. Now you are an evangelist to everyone in your life. Listen, you are their hope. You are their only chance. You may be the only source of light that life ever gets. Did you hear what I said? You may be the only one that could tell them about Jesus Christ before they perish. The question this morning is, are you going to be a Shema? Are you going to stand in the gap for that poor lost soul? You see, the natural eye, listen carefully, to the natural eye, Shema stood all alone. As far as everyone around him could see, he was all alone. But let me tell you something. When you are with God, you're never alone. Listen, with God, you are a mighty warrior. With God, you are unconquerable. With God, you are invincible. With God, you have a supernatural divine power that this world does not understand. Listen to me. Gideon plus God equaled victory over the Midianites. Listen, Moses plus God equaled deliverance from Pharaoh in Egypt. Peter plus God equaled Pentecost and power from on high. Paul and Silas plus God equaled deliverance from prison and a jailer's whole household being saved. When you've got God, I always say, one plus God is a majority. Glory to God. Old Elijah up there on Mount Carmel, and there's 450 prophets of Baal, and he's all alone, plus God. And I said, it sounds like a fair fight to me. Elijah plus God. Oh, yeah. Roll him up, boy. Let him come. Listen, I wonder what you and God could equal. I wonder what you plus God could accomplish. I wonder what you and God will get done before you take your last breath. I'll tell you right now that God is unlimited in His potential. God is unlimited in His ability to work miracles. Listen carefully. I want to give you five things about Shema, and I'll be done. First, notice that Shema was surrounded by the enemy. Look back in our text here. In verse number 11. First of all, Shema was surrounded by the enemy. Verse 11. And after him was Shema, the son of Agai, the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop. Now notice in verse 11 that the Philistines, you know, the enemies of God's people, picturing those demons that are against us, those satanic powers, they stood against Shema. In verse 11, they were gathered together into a troop. You know, those demons are organized. Satan has a host, he has an army, and they're organized and they're busily active in their master's service, attacking you and I, attacking the church, attacking the family, attacking the home, attacking the schools, attacking society to bring it down. But Shema stood against this great troop. He was surrounded by the enemy. Point being, if you are going to be a mighty man or a mighty woman of God, you must realize that the enemy will oppose you. Did you hear what I said? Yeah. You've got to expect some enemy opposition in your life. Do you know who the enemy leaves all alone? Those who just sit back and do nothing for God. He's got those Christians right where he wants them. You know, on the sofa with the remote. Click, 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 you know. Give me another drink, you know. Hey, folks, we need to get serious about serving Jesus Christ. You remember the Alamo? Custer and his men were defending the Alamo against the Mexican invading army, and they only had a few hundred soldiers, American soldiers, defending that fort in San Antonio. And the cry came out, remember the Alamo! Because they all perished in the fight. They all perished in the fight, but those soldiers would not give up their ground. They said, we will die before we give up this fort. Amen. And when the rally call came, when they all died, and the troops, the reinforcing troops of the American armies came in, they went through the Mexican army like butter. Because they saw that their fellow soldiers had been killed in the battle. It gave them courage to fight. Amen? Remember the Alamo. Secondly, concerning Shema, notice what he was defending. Verse 11. And after him was Shema, the son of Agai the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop, where was a piece of ground full of lentils. What? Did anybody hear that? The guy is risking his life for a little patch of lentils. Listen carefully now, church. Let me ask you a question. What was so valuable about this little plot of land with a few lentils? That's right. It belonged to God. Amen. It belonged to God. And he said, because this belongs to my God, you're not taking it from me. Oh, beloved, I hope you're listening to Shema this morning. Because God gave them that ground. Did you hear what I said? Amen. God gave them that ground. And he said, I'm not giving it up. I wonder what it is that God has given you that's worth fighting for. worth defending? Oh, beloved, listen. We need some Shemaz today to start defending what God has given us. I'm going to defend my family. I'm going to defend my church. I'm going to defend my pastor. I'm going to defend my kids in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? God gave them to me. God gave them to me. Hey, folks, let me tell you something. God gave us this church. God gave us this church. And I'm going to defend it in the name of Jesus Christ. Because it's His. Shema said, this patch of land belongs to the God of Israel. You're not taking it. We need to stand up against the enemy, beloved, and say, devil, I rebuke thee by the blood of Jesus Christ. You're not robbing me of God's will for my life. You're not robbing me of the joy of the Lord. You're not robbing me of my Bible study time and my prayer time and my fellowship with the Lord. You're not taking it. Thirdly, observe what the majority did. Verse 11. And after him was Shema, the son of Agai the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop, where was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines. What? Did you see what the majority did? They fled when the enemy showed up. Oh, I hope somebody's listening this morning. Because how many times do we turn tail and run when the enemy shows up? Amen. Oh, it's time for church. I think I'll just roll over and go back to sleep. Oh. You know. Oh, you know, I got bowling tonight. I can't come fast. Or you know, they see the enemy, they turn tail and they run away. They weren't very mighty. Listen, at this particular point, only Shema said, no. No. No, I won't give it up. I won't quit. I won't stop serving my God. He said, I'm serving notice to you, devil. I'm not going anywhere. I love that. Shema said, I'm not moving. You can shoot all the arrows you want at me. I got my shield of faith. You can come after me with everything but the kitchen sink and throw that in if you want to. I've got the living God on my side. I'm not giving up. I'm not quitting, and I'm not throwing in the towel. Listen, fourthly, this morning, quickly, fourthly, notice what Shema did. Verse 12. But he, Shema, stood in the midst of the ground and defended it. Oh, this is getting good. Shema didn't follow the crowd. Shema didn't care about the easy road. The armchair Christianity, the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel. He said, I'm going to fight. I'm going to fight because God is worthy. Amen? Listen now. What Shema did, he stood and he defended God's property against the enemies. Now, in the whole armor of God, listen to me, beloved. There is no armor for the backside. You know why? Because you're never supposed to turn tail and run. Hello? All of your armor is in front of you. Shield of faith. Helmet of salvation. Loins girt about with the truth. Listen, all of it is offensive. All of it is, you know, if you turn around, you're vulnerable. You know what the devil will do as soon as you turn around? He'll shoot you in the back. Boing! Knock you out of service for Jesus Christ. Now, Shema did not turn around and run. Shema stood his ground and he succeeded. He pulled out his sword and he said, you want some of this, buddy? He pulled out the sword. Amen? You've got a sword. And as long as you hold up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, the devil has no power over you. I hope somebody's getting this morning. That's a powerful book you hold in your lap this morning. It's a sword of the Spirit. And when you wield it, the devil turns tail and runs. Amen. He can't take it. Jesus said, it is written, it is written, it is written. And the Bible says the devil leaveth him. Yeah, quick. Because he was quoting scripture. And that's what we need to do. Quote the word. But finally, fifthly, don't miss what he experienced. Verse 12. Notice what Shema experienced. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it. And what? Slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. I hope somebody's listening in closing, because Shema experienced something that nobody else experienced when they ran away. He experienced the victory of the Lord.
Woo!
He stood his ground. He chased them away. He didn't just chase them. He slew them. He whipped out the sword and he said, "You guys are going down because this sword right here is from God. You can't stand against this sword." And he did. The Bible says in verse 12, he slew them. Listen carefully, beloved. I beg you to hear me in closing this morning. Because Shema was the only person in this particular battle that personally experienced the power of God working through him. Did you hear what I said? Listen to me. Listen to me. If you never go into the battle, you will never personally experience the power of God's Spirit flowing through you. You know what I want for every single one of you? I want you to experience the power of the living God working in and through you. I'm a little serious this morning because the message of Shema is most serious. He, look what it says at the end of verse 12. The Lord brought a great victory. Through who? Amen. Through Shema. You know what he wants? He wants a Shema to work through. And you know what that does? That gives him all the glory. Shema didn't have any ability, any strength of his own. It was all God. And he knew it. But he experienced that power, chasing the enemy and slaying the enemy. Why? Because he was a mighty man of God. He believed that God would deliver him from the enemy. He believed that God was on his side and therefore he could not lose. He believed all the promises that God had made to Israel. And just like Shema, beloved, only those who believe the promises will experience the power of God working in and through their lives. Listen now. In closing, I want to give you this. Look with me in verse 13. Oh, you're going to love this. Verse 13 of chapter 23. And three of the 30 chief went down and came to David. Who's David? They're what? You said it. They're king. David is a type of who? The king. Look at it. They went down and came to David in the harvest time unto the cave of Adullam. And the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in an hold. And the garrison of the Philistines, the enemies, was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, "Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." And the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. And he said, "Be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives?" Therefore, he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men. You know what they did? The king said, "I'm awful thirsty, boys. I sure would like a cold cup of water from Bethlehem's well, my favorite." You know what they did? They said, "You got it, king." They said, "We'll break through the Philistines. We'll bring the king the water." And they did. You know what it says in verse 17? They jeopardized their lives for the king. Folks, I'm here to tell you that mighty men and mighty women of God are not afraid to lose their lives for the king. I'm so glad this morning you can't threaten me with ISIS. You can't scare me with terrorism. You can't, I don't care what they throw at me. I am indestructible in the name of Jesus Christ. You kill me, you send me to glory. Hallelujah. You cannot be afraid of dying or getting hurt if you're going to be a mighty man of God. We've got to serve God, and what the king wants, we will bring him. What the king commands, we will do. Where the king sends, we will go. What the king wants, we will get for him, because he's worth it, church. These three mighty men loved the king. And they said, "I don't care if I die, but I'm going after that water." Oh, we need some Shemas today in the church. But in closing, look at verse 18. It gets better. And Abishai, the brother of Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was chief amongst three. And he lifted up his spear against 300 and slew them. And had the name amongst the three. Was he not most honorable of the three? Therefore he was their captain. Howbeit, he attained not unto the first three. You know those guys that got the water? And Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel, who had done many acts. He slew two lion-like men of Moab. He went down also and slew a lion in the midst of a pit in the time of snow. And he slew an Egyptian, a goodly man. And the Egyptian had a spear in his hand. But he went down to him with a staff and plucked the spear out of the Egyptian's hand and slew him with his own spear. Now, in closing, why did I read that? Here's the reason why. How did these mighty men perform those incredible acts? One guy slew 300 Philistines with a spear. How could they possibly accomplish such feats of heroism? I'll tell you how. You know when David was going out to battle earlier in the book? And he said, Lord, should I go now? And he said, not yet, David. Lord, should I go now? Hang on. And the Lord said, David, when you hear the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, then thou shalt go forth against the enemy, for the Lord's host is gone out against them before thee. Folks, here's what I'm saying. Why do we see all these incredible, miraculous feats being accomplished by men and women of God in chapter 23? It's because you have angelic assistance. How else could they do it? It's because they had angelic assistance, but we have something better than that. We have the Spirit of the living God within. I've got God in me. You can't stop me. Amen. I am so glad this morning that Galatians 5 and verse 6 says, it is faith which worketh by love. Do you love Him this morning? If you love your King, there should be no sacrifice too large. There should be no request too big that we might not answer, yes, Lord, I'll bring you that water. Yes, Lord, I'll defend this ground. Yes, Lord, I'll stand in the name of Jesus Christ against the enemy. Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning for these mighty men of David. Lord, how we thank you this morning that you're calling to this world for some mighty men and mighty women of God who are supernaturally empowered by the Holy Ghost. Lord, I thank you that this treasure we have in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power might be of God and not of us. We thank you, Lord, that all glory redounds to thy name. Anything that gets accomplished in our lives is only because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, my prayer this morning for this church and those who are hearing the sound of my voice is that they would become such mighty warriors of the Lord Jesus Christ that they'll be ready to charge hell with a squirt gun. Nothing will stop us, oh God. We are the army of the Lord Jesus Christ, and in His name we do conquer. Glory to God. Thank you for chapter 23. Thank you for David's last words. What did he do in his last words? He recognized his mighty men. Lord, I thank you that one day you will recognize your mighty men and women that have served you faithfully, that have stood the test and held that ground like Shema. We thank you, Lord, that day of reward is coming, but that's not why we serve you. We serve you because we love you. We have faith which worketh by love. Those men jeopardized their lives for that cup of water for one reason. They love the King more than their own lives. And Lord, I love verse 23. It says that you poured it out, David. David poured it out, Lord, showing that David didn't want the water. He wanted his soldiers' loyalty. Lord, you don't want water from us. You simply want our faithfulness, obedience, and loyalty. And willingness to do whatever you call us to do. We thank you for it in the name of Jesus Christ. And the people said, amen. 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 Praise the Lord, folks. Let's grab our hymnals this morning. In closing, we will sing in hymn. And we will stand for our time of invitation. I've got just the perfect hymn for us to sing at this time. Turn with me to hymn 231. You say, how can I, Pastor, how? I hear the message and I want to be a mighty one of God. How can I do that? I'm so glad you asked. In page 231, hymn number 231, says, I need thee every hour. Amen?
Amen.
Through God we shall do valiantly, David said. And we're going to sing the first, third, and fourth of 231. Let's stand. Yes, indeed, Lord. Every hour we need thee. It's the only way. Altar is open.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can be afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour. When you're come quickly and abide, or life is vain. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come.
Head bowed and every eye closed, just before we sing the final stanza. No one looking around. Father, we thank you for your people today. And I wonder what it is today, Lord, that you're laying on some of our hearts. By knuckles in hand, you say, Pastor, pray for me. I know God wants me to do so. I see that hand, and 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 I see that hand. Hands are up all over. I know that God has something for me to do. I want to be a Shema. Put them down. Yes, indeed, I see those hands. Put them down. I want to defend this ground. I want to stand up for Jesus Christ, and I want to accomplish His will in my life. Glory to God, Father, I thank you for those uplifted hands, and I pray that right now your Holy Spirit would come. Your Holy Spirit would breathe fresh anointing power into each heart and soul, and make us those mighty men and mighty women of God that you've called us to be, that we would accomplish those plans and purposes that you've laid on our hearts, Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, let it be done in His name. Amen. On the fourth. Thank you.
The every hour, most one. Oh, make me thine indeed, thou blessed Son. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior.
Praise the Lord. Great singing this morning, church. Thank you for being with us. What a blessing. Going to ask Brother Kyle to dismiss us in prayer. And don't forget, if you can join us tonight at 6 p.m., we'll be celebrating the Lord's table just before our Bible study. Kyle?
Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. And thank you for being able to go out and receive your word, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us a preacher who's not afraid to stand before us in the world and proclaim your great mission for each and every one of us. We love for each and every one of us, Lord. We just pray that you'd work through us and help us each to be a mighty man, to stand up for you and to go forward with your banner ahead of us. We ask you, Lord, to watch over and guide us, to keep us safe, and to bring us back this evening when it will be time to celebrate your table, Lord, and to show our courage for you. And we ask you to be with us, guide us, Just give us traveling mercies and keep us safe, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.